Let's go.
Bingetown, how are we feeling tonight? It's your boy Dave here with Kyle and longtime friend of the pod, Alki. We are back again here to bring you more anime content with Attack on Titan, episode 77, Sneak Attack. As a reminder to everyone, we will not be covering things in scene-by-scene order rather than in character buckets. So for this episode, we'll be starting with Gabby and Falco's storyline, then moving our way into Armin, Mikasa, and the rest of the squad, and then finishing with the Eren, Reiner, and Zeke content. So to get right into things, what were the first impressions of the episode? We'll start with Kyle, of course, the newbie. Kyle has, and to recap as well, Kyle here has only is an anime only. Me and Alki will be anime and manga experts. We will not be spoiling anything for anybody. So Kyle, get right into it.
So we actually watched this episode all together, which was fun. It was like classic in the beginning. We're kind of getting rehashed what happened last episode. But I think that the whole idea of Zeke getting there, like the jump from Zeke storyline episode one, episode two, I think is great. And I'm excited to see how that develops. But I just, it seems like this is a perfect setup episode for next episode. It seems like next episode is going to be the meat and potatoes stuff, while this was kind of getting some chess pieces in the correct place. So I thought it wasn't bad. It definitely, like when it ended, it was like, oh my God, like that was it. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens next week.
Alki?
I thought it was underwhelming. Mm. I mean, it's hard because I know what's going to happen, you know? So I just thought it was a little slow episode. I think they spent too much time in the beginning recapping that whole conversation in the jail cell, which I'm sure we will talk about. I mean, it's important to recap a little bit, but I thought it was just a little too much. Yes, I thought the Zeke line was fun and cool. The Cart Titans, like sneak attack on Zeke was pretty dope. And that was like the best part of the episode, I thought. And I'm eager to see what happens when Zeke and Eren connect.
Agreed. Not much of a great episode from my perspective. Just a solid episode of just putting pieces together where we need them to be. So next episode will definitely be the one, Kyle. So be on the lookout for that. I'm excited to get your reaction to that. That's going to be incredible. So like I said, we'll start with Gabby and Falco's storyline of this arc. And we open up with Gabby and Colt looking for Falco, who is with the military police guy. What's his name? Mr. Niall? Niall-san?
Niall. I think that was Erwin's buddy the cadet training.
It was actually, I did not like Niall when we first get introduced to him, whenever it was like season one, because, you know, he was just a lackadaisical military police guy. He just didn't really care too much about anything going on outside of the district and the king and everything. And the only up until when Erwin is making his case and they fake out the fake council of people to like, they do the coup d'etat. So that was when I first started liking him, and now this scene definitely makes me love him, honestly.
Yeah, I thought it was like, I guess it's a little bit of a redemption story for him, because he was about to backstab Erwin and put him in jail, whatever it was in season one, when they were going to try to capture Annie and all that happened. But it was cool to see him help out Falco. Like, I think Gabby's annoying as crap, but Falco is, you know, he seems like a good dude.
Any thoughts on Niall, Kyle?
Yeah, I honestly didn't really see this conversation coming. It feels almost like not filler, because you just love the action stuff. But I think this is almost where like Attack on Titan shines a lot, is where we get these like incredible situations that are just so horrifying and desperate. And then we see how people react to them. So I honestly liked Falco and his conversation. And then I also like when he kind of leads Falco back to Colt and Gabby.
Yep. And that's exactly what happens. Colt and Gabby are kind of on the lookout right outside of where Falco and the military police are. They get noticed by Niall and Falco, and Niall walks Falco over to them, and Gabby and Colt are just ready to just kill this guy. They just think he's a devil and they're ready to jump him. And Gabby kind of tugs him and just says, like, you know, let's just give it a second. Let's just play it out and see what happens. And it ends up, he just hands him over. He hands over Falco to the squad and they're all reunited and they just dart off. But we do see a little bit of character growth here from Gabby a little bit.
Yeah. And it continues right into the next scene too. I when that happened, I thought like, okay, like that's nice that she did it. And then the next scene just kind of cranks it up when they're hiding in whatever that house is. And I guess that's Sasha's family, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're in the house. Sasha's family is walking by as they're inside the house. And, you know, Sasha's dad and like rest of the family is hoping that Gabby and Falco are okay. However, the one girl is still bent on the fact that she can't, like, she wants to kill Gabby essentially. And you can see the look on Gabby's face here where she's crying. She's actually crying and she feels for the people of Paradise Island here. And it's just, you know, going from early in season four, part one, of when she's completely like everyone on the island is a devil. There's no escaping that. And to hear her shedding tears of being like cast out by this family who she was supposed to hate, but ended up really liking. And it's just crazy. And I still hate Gabby. Don't get me wrong, Alki. I'm on your side too. I hate Gabby, but this was a really big moment for her.
I feel bad for her. You know, she's so brainwashed.
Yeah, that's all it
They're all brainwashed. It's like it's such a sin to see they are like honorary Marlians, but really they're in a ghetto, you know. It's direct parallel to what happened to, like, it's like kind of like what's going on, what happened with the Holocaust or in this own little thing. I don't mean to say it's just like that, but it's obviously a play on like racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this earlier, you know, Falco, he mentioned he poured his heart out. He's like, I betrayed Marley. I helped Aaron. And also, I love you, Gabby, which I couldn't give a shit about. But if he goes back, they could murder him and his family, you know, however this all plays out, because he's a traitor. Yeah. And that just sucks. He didn't mean to. That's crazy. Aaron totally used the shit out of him.
I think this scene wasn't especially, like, I think Gabby's realization isn't especially surprising, because it does seem like that's kind of like a theme of these brainwashed characters. But
it's the point of the show.
I really like, though, that she apologizes to Falco and she's like, I am the reason why you're in this situation. Like, I'm sorry about that. And I like, I mean, I guess I don't like, I just thought it was funny how he just is like, I love you. And they're all kind of looking at him like, what the fuck? And then he's like, because he might turn into a Titan at any time, I just want to get it out there. And I thought that was like a very heartwarming reason for him to say that. That makes me feel even worse for Falco, because I don't mind him so much.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
Robin loves Falco's confession. She loved reading it and then loved seeing it on the screen. I root for Falco as well. And I think what he did was the right thing, especially since he was hiding it for so long. And like, even though he did kind of make it clear in some ways that Gabby just couldn't get it through, he needed to just actually say it. And so for him to actually say it here, is I'm happy for him that he was able to get that on paper. But
so now their goal is to get to Zeke, then maybe he won't scream to turn everyone into Titan, because they know, because he'll find out that Falco is a Titan.
Yeah.
And if I was a new watcher, if I were you, Kyle, I think Zeke wouldn't give a fuck.
That's what I was just going to say. One life is not worth sabotaging the plan that they've worked this hard for. There's no fucking way.
We'll come to a conclusion on that arc. We'll be on the lookout for them. It's going to just pick up from here, definitely. Now we go into the cold open of the episode, which we, again, don't really need to cover too much since we did it last episode. But essentially all it is Armin is rallying the troops to help defend Aaron, because everyone, especially Connie, is anti-Aaron right now. They're like, everyone's betraying us. Like, Annie, Bertolt, Reiner already did that. Like, fuck Aaron too if he's going to betray us. But Armin's just kind of saying all these things like, look, he doesn't actually want to euthanize us if you think about it. You know, he's always been for us. And if you need, like, he doesn't need Zeke at the end of the day, like he always has the founding Titan. And just a good scene, but just kind of unnecessary to throw it back in here for 5 minutes of the episode, and then we get into the intro. It's like, it's kind of unnecessary. I guess they wanted to hammer it home, but
yeah, it's kind of like typical anime, but it's more like typical like One Piece. So One Piece, I feel like, does a lot. Well, this is seems like they don't have a lot of time, but I did like the little things that they added. Like, I like Gene admitting that he thinks Aaron is cool and that he doesn't want him to die yet. Connie's line about not wanting to die because he wants to punch him in the face first. these are good moments. Mm-hmm. Armin has the flashback to when Eren says, like, oh, like, if we just kill everyone, we'll be free, where he's trying to now uncover what Eren's reasoning is for acting the way he is. But yeah, it's just kind of tough to, like, wait all week for the episode, and then we open up and we're watching scenes we already watched, and that is a little sad.
The only extra bit of content we get from that ending scene is we now see them go to the jail cells, basically. They try and get Commander Shaddus, whatever his name is, and he has no motivation to go on at all, clearly. He's just like, just go on without me, leave me here. But they meet up with Pyxis, who tells them that he should probably lay off the wine. And they quickly realize, immediately get the joke that he's making and that he's has spinal fluid inside of him.
I love Pyxis, man. Smiles in the face of death.
Yeah.
Since the first season, he's always been the same. I love
him.
That.
There's only like two people that have never like sweat, like three people that have never really, two have never sweat in a situation is like Erwin and Pyxis. Like, no matter what information they get told, like, they just, it seems like they always know. Like, I was going to say Levi in that.
I was just going to ask who your third was.
But it was when they were fighting the Beast Titan for the first time. I'm pretty sure he's like looking at Erwin, like, what the fuck are we supposed to do now? Yeah, like, he is kind of sweating.
Levi follows orders and he'll never waver from them, but he's a really great tool. He's not like a leader way that Pyxis and Erwin are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I want to touch on
Pyxis. Great leader in this scene when he's like kind of organizes everyone. Everyone's got their black cloth and he kind of is now giving people purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good at uniting. He's good at organizing and uniting people. He did it. Didn't he do it in that whole speech season one when he was like, yeah, you can leave if you want, but you'll leave and like everybody, your whole family's going to die pretty much. Right? Isn't that what he said? And he motivated everyone to stay and a lot of people to stay and fight.
I like Pyxis.
Yeah, Pyxis is cool. I wanted to say one quick thing. When I first watched season one in like 2013, and as I was reading, I always was not the hugest fan of Gene. Now that I'm rewatching, I think Gene's the man.
He is one of my cool favorites, definitely.
Yeah, they all had a collective glow up, like the OG kind of cadet squad, but he has grown so much and grown so well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Besides Eren, he's grown the most out of anybody. And then the other final thing we get about with this group is we see Mikasa leaving her scarf behind as she goes to battle to save Eren, which is another big character development for this is our third huge character development. And Mikasa now, is kind of, I think this was more of a symbolism of trying to move past Eren. I'm not sure if maybe, I don't know if you took it differently, Kyle, but that was what it meant to me a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if, can she even like, in her DNA do that? Like, I don't even know if it feels like she physically can't do that, but this is her like taking a small step.
She wants to at this point in time, but I don't, again, I agree with you. I don't think she's always going to fight for Eren no matter what.
I think, I just understood it as her being conscious and trying to make a change from her past, right? So it's just like normal character development.
Yeah, that's good. The word conscious, I like that. It's like, she mentions free will a lot in the beginning of this episode too, so
yeah, she's just trying to be, because now she's aware of everything that Eren said, right? And she's thinking about these things. She's trying to put Eren aside to make decisions that aren't influenced by him. We'll see if that happens, but this is, I think, her reasoning for putting the scarf down. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very good reasoning as well. I was just, I guess, trying to simplify it in my mind. But yeah, we see her leave the scarf behind. And now we get into the real meat and potatoes of the episode, which continues to be the Reiner and Eren fight. Last we left off, Reiner was impaling Eren, essentially, and had him on the ropes. And here we get a little inner monologue from Reiner talking about how he's kind of coming to this realization that he's nothing like Eren at all, which I would disagree with. We've already said it last episode for the most part. I think he needs a reason to move on. And if it's him just blindly saying that he's nothing like Eren, then that's going to get the job done, you know? So he's coming to terms with what's going on in the world. And he's kind of realizing that he is trying to save the world again, I think is what's happening there.
I'm a sucker for these scenes. I really like like exploring the mental state of both Reiner and Aaron, especially when it happens like kind of back to back with each other like this.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, Aaron just has no fucking quit in him at this point. I mean, he is just a fucking savage. And I just love how Reiner and Aaron are like heavyweights and they go at it hard and their fight's good. And then Galliard's just like a fucking fly that Aaron just has to continually swat to get back to the fight.
My note is literally, why does Galliard even fight? Because Aaron just rocks him every fucking time.
Yeah, I just wrote that he's a punk ass bitch. He literally just gets tossed like all the time. Aaron basically catches him by his fucking jaw in midair and just throws him across the whole city.
Okay, yeah. Something I like that you touched on our last recording was how you felt like the story kind of shifted from Aaron to Reiner kind of around this point in time. I don't know if you still feel that way, but that's true because I'm kind of picking it up as I'm watching now is that seasons 1 to 3, we were getting Aaron's inner monologue the whole time.
Exactly.
Seasons 4, part 1 and 2 now, it's only been Reiner's inner monologue. We've never had a glimpse at what Aaron's been thinking since the time skip, which
exactly.
is crazy.
That's why I said that. I remember reading and being like, okay, they shifted like the point of view a lot. Cause now I thought the author was, and it's being told this way too in the anime, Aaron is the collective villain for many sides of this whole thing, even amongst his friends. I mean, they're like, what is going on with Aaron? The Survey Corps doesn't know what's going on. You have this Jaegerist, and so now he's got like these zealots following him. And Reiner is caught in between all of it because he still has these strong feelings towards these people that he thought were devils, but he realized aren't, right? And it's an internal struggle that he's still battling.
And even their character designs are like kind of opposite too. Like Aaron now has donned the black cape. He's got the black hair. Like he's got a dark demeanor to him. Reiner has usually like a light tan kind of coat or something white. He's got the light hair. Like it's just, they're just, I don't know if that was purposeful at all, but just like they are literally yin
definitely
and yang.
Some symbolism there, kind of like Anakin in Revenge of the Sith. He always wore black robes the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then he ended up becoming Darth Vader. And that was like,
whoa.
Spoiler.
Did you know Darth Vader is Luke's father? Let's get us back on track. Literally, it's just a scene of going back and forth between Aaron just fucking up Reiner and Galliard. Although he is taking a lot of significant damage. Like his jaw might be dislocated. His leg is kind of limping about. So he's kind of struggling a little bit too, which Zeke appears and starts providing support, which I really like how his thing is like throwing. Like they all have like a mastery in something, and like the Beast Titans is throwing. It's just very unique, and just seeing how powerful just simply throwing rocks can be is really awesome, to be honest. It's really cool how they do it.
I would agree. When you first meet him, I would not have guessed that's what his MO was. And if you told me that, I would think that you were lying to me. And it looks so wonky at first, but we've had multiple experiences now of how deadly he is with it. So it still looks kind of funny to me when he winds up and throws things. But
I love the submarine pitch when although it's really messed up how he does it when he's fucking up the scouts at that battle, when he just like underhands it, he's like, oh, I changed my pitching style. Like none of you can see it. And it's just like, I love when he does the submarine, but yeah,
he's got like so much torque with his arms.
Dude, he's a perfect throw every time. Like he's picking out aircrafts from the sky. He's literally shooting Galliard, who the Jaw Titan is known for its elusiveness, like picking it out of the air too. Like he's just so insane with his ability. Like he is just so perfect for the Beast Titan.
Well, that's the whole thing. He's called the Wonder Boy.
Yeah,
I think he's the first person to realize the Beast Titan's potential that over anyone that's donned it in the past. That's what I've understood from the conversations like the Marlians have had. Mm. Also, he is the only one to have had royal blood using it. That's
true.
Probably
that gives him a little bit of an advantage.
They just found that out, didn't they?
I don't even know if they know. I think we know because we know his mom is the heir to the throne.
They talk about it in episode 1. I feel like the Card Titan.
Him and Commander Maggoth have definitely talked about it. They've definitely Zeke was talking about it. He's like, oh, you just want to like redeem yourself for your parents' misfortune. Like kind of, I think at the end of the day, everyone knows that Zeke is royal blood. And that's why they know it's such an issue for him to meet up with Aaron as well. That's why, like, the traitor stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But I do remember when he was talking to Colt, who is supposed to inherit the Beast Titan, Colt was saying, oh, like, you're so good at it, and you don't even have, and you're not even royal. And Zeke was just like, yeah. So I guess maybe Peek knew because they're close. I don't know.
It's possible. But we also catch a glimpse here of Yelena just being a fucking psychopath. She is pulling a Joker here. She is just watching the city burn and loving every second of it.
And that shot is amazing.
Yeah, it was really well done shot when the airship's kind of like falling out of the sky and it's just like her back. And it was like the Crollo Lucifer Hunter X moment when he's just like in the building, just like a symphony of chaos.
I saw the manga panel and it looked like spot on with it. It looked really good.
I thought the shot was really well done. And here we get the squad arriving. So it's Mikasa, Armin, and all of them. Yelena tells them that apparently, based off what they've seen, that Levi and Hanji must have been defeated by Zeke because Zeke is here and they are nowhere to be seen. And Armin pulls this card where he's like, we have to stop them from meeting up with each other, Zeke and Aaron. That was their plan all along, is what Yelena admits. And we get this creepy shot of Yelena's face, like, overlooking Aaron. I don't know if you guys, like, remember specifically what I'm talking about.
Do I remember? Yeah. Of course I remember, bro. What the fuck?
It was just the, like, craziest fucking thing in the world, that face. I've never seen any look like that in any anime or manga in my entire life, I'd have to say.
It's pretty sinister.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was also, like, I've never seen, like, disgust almost, like, depicted that visually. It was pretty crazy. You're right. I've never seen that facial expression in any manga or either anime that I've ever watched in my entire life.
And I think she's giving this facial expression to basically show, like, Armin that she's seeing through what he's talking about.
I thought Yelena wants them to meet.
Yeah. Armin is saying, like, hey, we'll help them. Yeah, we need to help. Or maybe they're the only ones that can save the world. And then she makes that face and I was like, why?
She's like, what are you up to?
Yeah.
That's what it is about, is like, it's used to show that
he's agreeing with her now. They just threw him in jail because he wasn't agreeing with them. Now he's out of jail and now he's agreeing. So she's definitely suspicious. She has the worst poker face.
But she says, like, oh, I'll support anybody that wants to help Aaron. I think she's going to, it's like one of those things in a lot of movies you see, like, she's going to allow them to help out, but stop their end goal, try to, whenever they get to that point.
And so the final main point of the episode is earlier the Car Titan was kind of flanked by Flock and some of the Jaegerists after Zeke had thrown some more debris at her. She had to take cover and they kind of swarm her, and we get the shot of her at the end. She's dissolving out of her Titan form and everyone's assuming that she's dead, but they're all like, also like, who had the last shot? And then all of them get killed by the snipers that are hiding in the bones of the Titan, and Peek is yelling at Commander Magath to take the shot. General Magath. Now he takes the shot and just doesn't take out Zeke's nape, but just enough to just warrant him to be useless from here on out.
Yeah, he fucks him up. It's almost for the angle, it's pretty much the perfect shot. He does say, like, get us to a better angle, but I think pretty sure he takes off, like, Zeke's arm. But I like how they show it, like, from kind of far away of Zeke standing there and then him slowly falling off the wall. I thought that was really well done. That really hit home of, like, the, oh my God, like, that is happening right now. That was shocking.
And even Aaron at this point in time, his plan is not going to fruition. He is he's a little worried in this situation. You could see it on his face, which is the first time we've seen him worried probably all season.
It was definitely a crazy ending. The episode itself was kind of slow in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then amazing climax. So, I mean, it did a good job of making me, I mean, obviously I'm going to fucking watch every week, but, like, I'm really excited for next week.
Dude, you have no idea. Next week's episode is this. It might be a little bit of a longer discussion, but holy shit, you are in for it, man.
I hope that it happens. What you're saying is going to happen. I think it will. So that we're not fucking left blue balls.
We're definitely going to get another tease at the end, like where the next episode is going to end in my head, where I think it's going to end.
I think it's the same.
It's just going to be like,
it's going to be like, what?
Yeah, we're going to be like, where's the next episode?
And you're going to be like, it's going to end.
Look at this quick language. I want to know. I want to be the cool kids. I want to know what we're talking about.
You're getting there. Oh, and by the way, just to let the people know as well, I think it is for the most part confirmed that this season will be 12 episodes released with the movie, which it sucks that we're going to have to wait a year probably at least for the movie. But at the same time, I'm fine with it because I think the movie would be a better way to do it than just week by week. Like there's going to be so much like information thrown at us that there's just like, they can't do it week to week. They're going to have to show it all in one go. So I'm fine with it. But also at the same time, it's like,
I would hope they're kind of working on the movie now while the episode is like the season. They're done with working on it.
I'm pretty sure everything. I'm pretty sure. So for this season, the season is done.
So much.
The season is done, and they just need to edit it essentially week by week is what they have to do. So I'm pretty sure with that, they've already started
They started drawing, hopefully.
Yeah, everything in the movie.
The movie, designing, all that shit. I hope so, because, that'll be – this wait. Honestly, this wait was – it wasn't terrible.
It was quickish, but we were also – it was a pretty busy week. I don't know about you.
It honestly helps when the summer is in between the wait.
He's talking about the season releases.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. But yeah, because when the summer's there, it helps a little bit because the summer usually ends up fucking flying by while winter drags along.
Right.
Out of snail's face. So, okay. Fuck it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think that they need the movie at this point, especially after this last episode and the pace of it. Like, I was actually worried. I was thinking, how are they going to get everything in with all the important details with only 10 more episodes left? So I'm happy to hear that it's a movie. I'm disappointed to hear that I'd have to wait, but I guess it sucks a little more for Kyle than it does for me. So
yeah, it's definitely
true.
Yeah,
true.
All right, do you want to give episode ratings?
Okay, I can go first. I think it's like a solid 6.5. If the first one was like a 7, flirting with like a 7.5, I think this one was objectively a little worse. That might have to be, honestly, the first one was just we're back in the season, so it's fun and we're hype, but I think 6.5 is a very valid score. Wasn't anything insane. The Zeke stuff was fun. The Card Titan move was fun, but 6.5 for me.
Alki?
I would say a 6. Like average, run of the mill. I mean, I started off saying I didn't like the episode. It's not that I didn't like the episode. I just wanted more. You know, we've been saying that the whole episode, this whole recording, this whole podcast. I wish that didn't do so much recap in the beginning. I know that it's a little bit necessary at times because the first episode throws a lot at you. So they try to make sure everybody's on the same page. Mm. It ended at a good level and I'm excited to see how it's going to start next week. Mm. So
I'd say I'd also 6.5 is fine. I really do like Falco's confession. I think maybe Robin's rubbing off a little bit on me. I do like that. That was really nice. We got it. Like the character, like I said earlier, we saw three characters hit huge strides in their character development. So I thought that was really cool, and it did end on a high mark. So I'll give it a 6.5.
Are you talking about Gabby, Falco, and Mikasa?
What,
the three characters that had character
Gabby,
development?
Falco. No, Gabby, Mikasa, and
the Nile.
Yeah. Okay.
That side character that no one really cares.
Maybe
about,
I don't know,
but technically counts.
But either way,
dead soon.
I'll reiterate one last time. Next week's episode is going to be incredible, so be on the lookout for that. We'll be covering Attack on Titan weekly, continuing these 30-minute discussions of what our thoughts are on the episodes. Be sure to listen to our coverage of the Marvel Universe shows, Hawkeye, What If. We just got finished recording The Witcher, The Wheel of Time. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, subscribe to our Patreon. Other than that, Shinzo Sasagero, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Good shit.
Tata K.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.